Welcome to this special episode of The Burning Platform. Now, in the last 2 weeks, we've held two separate events hosted by Justice Malala and then by Penuel, the Black Pen, and they've been phenomenal. They've been leaders from political parties who've accepted our invitation to talk about 100 days of the GNU. That's the first 100 days of the government of national unity. How are we doing, South Africa? What are the burning issues? These are the important conversations, and we've decided that it's well worth keeping these as part of the Burning Platform series. So you get to join in on them, and you get to leave your thoughts in the comments section. As always, we check all of them. Make sure you subscribe to the Podcast Party's YouTube channel. That's Podcast Party SA, and you will get notifications. Therefore, you don't have to miss a thing. Make sure you like, subscribe, all of that stuff. And now, 100 days of the GNU.
I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to our conversation this evening. Last week, we did have Justice Malala, a very popular political commentator who hosted Nobuntu Hlazo Webster of BOSA last week and Michael Beaumont of Action SA. So today is just a continuation of the discussion around the 100 days of the GNU. Some of you may not know, as much as this GNU word keeps being thrown around, the GNU actually comprises of a couple of political parties, the first being the African National Congress, as we know, the second being the Democratic Alliance, the PA, Gayton McKenzie, the Inkatha Freedom Party, the IFP, the Good Party of Patricia de Lille, the PAC, which is represented this evening, the Freedom Front Plus, the UDM, Al-Jama'a, and Rise Mzansi. The UAT used to be part of the GNU, but then they pulled out after they didn't get a seat. So today we'll be carrying on with the conversation around the 100 days. I'm not here to try and steal any spotlight, and I'm hoping that our panelists will be the ones that are going to be engaging and entertaining you as much as possible. To start off on my left, we've got Mr. Vuyo Zungula, who is the president of the African Transformation Movement, the ATM. I've got a very long profile of this gentleman. He's an educated man, he's quite an academic, he's quite a passionate Pan-Africanist. But in the spirit of time, and because we want to engage on the GNU, I'm not going to give the full profile, but he is the president of the ATM. If we can please give him a round of applause. Second, we've got Ms. Karabo. She made sure that I pronounce her surname correctly, Khakhao, who represents the Democratic Alliance. Again, very well decorated. We're sitting with presidents of SRCs, cadres of movements, adversities here, and I appreciate having at least a rose amongst the thorns this evening, and she's going to be representing the DA, one of the notorious GNU heads. If we can please give her a round of applause. And then last but not least, we've got to Praedi Ramarumo Mfuluane, who represents the Pan-Africanist Congress, which some of us love speaking about very passionately, of Robert Sobukwe and some of the fights that they've been involved in the past. They've kind of fizzled out a bit over the years, and I'm hoping that he can maybe answer some of the questions of where maybe certain things have gone wrong. They are part of the GNU, people may not know. They've got a ministry as well, a very important one being land reform and rural development. If we can please put our hands together for Praedi Mfuluane. And so it is that I sit down. To kick it off, I'd like to ask each of you to please give an answer. And maybe we can start with you, Karabo. Many people are saying this is not really a government of national unity. They are saying it's actually a grand coalition. It's ANC and DA, and everyone just dances according to whatever they want. So I'd like from each of you to please share your thoughts on, is it a GNU? Is it a grand coalition? And what is your take on the first 100 days?
Firstly, hi and hello to everybody here. It's super nice to be here.
Thank you.
So terming a GNU a grand coalition between the DA and the ANC is very disrespectful for all other political parties that are within the GNU, right? It reduces them and it reduces the electorate, the people who voted for them. So that's the first thing, and we should shy away from doing so, because if we as a party are going to be a truly democratic society, then we should be able to respect everybody who has a seat at the table and everybody else who has their support. So that's the first thing. The second thing here is we need to also be honest about what it is that a government of national unity is and is about. A GNU is a government that seeks to unite a very fragmented society with pockets of deep division from the left all the way to the right, finding a centre approach on policy directions that are not only going to deal with the heart of what plagues South Africa, which is unemployment and poverty and inequality, but also be able to chart a way forward for a post poverty, unemployment, and inequality world, right? So that is what you want to do. So when you look at all the other political parties that are represented, you'd never imagine that Azania and the Democratic Alliance would find itself in the same team having a conversation about what land distribution looks like while having a chat about what, in the context of that, what a prosperous agricultural sector looks like. And so because on the basis of that, you are trying to genuinely get a government that is united for the best interests of society, making sure that we find ourselves again. Because the truth is, Pen, for 30 years, South Africa hasn't really been united. We haven't really been in a part where we really stand for what it is when we talk about democratic gains. We've had some sort of somebody there singing a Diblofa and Onse Himmel, and then the other one sitting down while you're doing so and continuing with something else, and which is against that which we wanted to have post-apartheid and colonialism. And the time is now, 30 years post-democratic rule, to finally be able to exist in a country where the government program is geared towards making sure that we finally do get the unity that we want. We finally do get to have the democracy that we all want. And the best opportunity then rests in the primary government program of the GNU as far as their policy direction is concerned.
Thank you. Praedi, do you agree with the PAC of Azania also being a part of this GNU? Is it a grand coalition? Is it actually a GNU? And do you see the PAC having a meaningful say, contrary to what maybe some may think out there?
Good evening to everyone and my fellow panelists. You know, firstly, let me just say, we find ourselves a little bit divorced from the obsession of concepts. Sometimes what you call yourself matters not. What's important is exactly what you are. I can run around and call myself various names, N-U-G-G, but what is important is exactly what are we on about. So I've got short legs in entertaining what the name is. My interest and our interest as an organization is the situation at hand. 30 years down the line, we look into the mirror, we look at our people, we find a very horrific picture. And scientifically speaking, we can't continue with the same solutions that is not bringing different results. And that is not us as political leaders. That is the electorate. We are not dealing with something that we sit in one boardroom one evening, enjoying coffee or extra coffee. And we just opted for the situation. It is the political science of the situation that we found ourselves in. The material conditions, the outcomes of elections spoke to us that we are where we are. After all, we as Pan-Africanists, my dear brother, we are open to speaking to various people. At the core of our foundation and principles is that we dream for a United States of Africa. And for that to happen, I must talk to my sister here. We dream for uniting everybody behind the Pan-Africanist banner. So for that to happen, I must talk to Comrade Zungula. I must talk to IFP. I must talk to almost everyone, whether we agree or not. The intention, after all, what is politics all about? The contestation of ideas. We must fight ideas with better ideas, not colors of T-shirts and slogans and many other things that are fashionable today. The size of a stadium a political party affords, it's what is of importance today. But at the core of the situation, my dear brother, we have no problem with what you call it. We know some of us, we are very knowledgeable about how media works, the importance of the usage of words deliberately used to create an unnecessary debate. We as a nation, we cannot spend any more time discussing whether it's GNU, NGU. We are 100 days today as we are discussing it. I wonder how much of time that the government needs to be assessed. Even the fastest response we've seen in the history of Africa from Captain Ibrahim Traore took him at least 2 years. But South Africans know the ANC takes 30 years to create us a huge mess. In 100 days, there's a huge expectation that this newborn baby must bring something to the table. But it's okay. We are leadership. We are not supposed to point fingers at the mistakes of others and create excuses. We must face this situation for what it is. The PAC and all these political parties that are inside GNU, we are not necessarily in agreement. We differ vehemently with my sister's international policies and economic policies. We differ vehemently. My conversation with her is me in an attempt to convince her. And I know she's in an attempt to convince me. The contestation of ideas. Better ideas must be contested with better ideas until ultimately we find the best amongst all these ideas. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Eddie. Vuyo, as the ATM, you guys are not part of the GNU. Would this have been an intentional decision from your side? Do you also agree that, look, the name doesn't really matter? It's not a grand coalition. It actually is a government of national unity. Or do you have a differing view? And what has been your take since the elections of how the so-called GNU has been running South Africa?
Firstly, evening to everyone, including my colleagues. I think trust is a currency that the government needs in order for it to deliver services and drive the country towards the direction in which they think it is the best for the country. Therefore, the question of what is it? Is it a GNU? It is a coalition. It's important because you are trying to build trust. And in building trust, you need to be honest with the citizens to say, but this is a coalition between the ANC and the DA, and the other parties are just there, you know, adding numbers there. You'll recall that when there was, before the elections, there was something called the MPC, which was a coalition of parties with the sole intention of making sure the ANC is not in power. Now, after the elections, the DA went and said, we want to make sure that whatever happens in the country, there is no coalition of the ANC with the leftist parties. They said they are trying to avoid a doomsday coalition. So their participation in this GNU was not premised on saying this is how we can move the country forward, but rather it was premised on saying because we do not want so and so in a coalition or in government with the ANC, we'll rather go in there ourselves and chase the other people away. So it becomes important that when we are talking about the coalition of the ANC and the DA, we bring about the historical imperatives as to what happened for this coalition to actually be there. You'll also recall that when there was the swearing in of members of parliament, it is only the DA and the ANC that had concluded, signed an agreement. The other parties were brought all along. If you can ask my brother if in the statement of intent, what clause there does the PAC say, but this one resonates with us, or it is our contribution. In fact, ask all other parties. The statement of intent which was promoted by the ANC is largely influenced by the ANC and the DA. That is why even Fikile Mbalula, when he was trying to speak about the statement of intent, it was Helen Zille who kept correcting her that, no, clause so-and-so says 1, 2, 3. So the other parties, rightfully, are just there to, you know, to provide a decoration. You'll recall that even in the context of what it is to have a government of national unity, you want to unite people. How can you unite people and you ignore MK, for example? Regardless whether you like it or not, there are people, it is the third biggest party in the country, whether you like Mr. Zuma or you hate him. But if you are talking about uniting the electorate, you need to respect the voices of the people who voted for MK to be there. So the concept of a GNU includes everyone. But in the concept of a coalition, like we have now, it includes certain people and excludes certain people.
Thank you so much. Before I ask my question, Karabo, you're vehemently shaking your head. I'd like to give you a... You're also shaking your foot. Okay. I'd like to give you guys a chance very briefly to please maybe engage Vuyo on what he said before I carry on.
So, first of all, Zungula himself sounds like a bitter person who wanted to have a slice of the cake and he ended up not having it for reasons that are known to himself. So the problem here is this, Pin. So we must be honest about this. So firstly, of course, if you are in a GNU, if you find yourself in a room full of particular political parties, those who have dominant numbers in the room are obviously going to come up with the domination of ideas, right? Which is the case with the Democratic Alliance and the ANC because we're the biggest shareholders within the GNU. But stop yourself. So yes, respect me when I'm good. Thank you very much. So, but it doesn't mean that nobody else in the room has an opinion. And I think you can come in as the smaller person in the room to clarify on that thing. No. So, no, man. No. You can come in here to justify, when the GNU was having a conversation about when we look back at how much land is in the hands of who, how far has the democratic government come in making sure that people who have been previously possessed of their land, if the land that has been taken away, have been able to get the justice that they want, how many of them are able to effectively use the land for economic gains, and how many of them are able to hold on to their dignities and their heritage. That is a conversation that rests in the hands of a minority shareholder, but it's a very powerful thing, right? And they are part of the agenda in that conversation. So the issue of whether or not our inclusion of the MK party is an indication of just a coalition with a few flower girls and flower boys at the wedding must be characterized as clearly as this. When I opened, I made it clear what it is that the primary focus of a GNU is as far as economic participation, as far as the emancipation of people, as far as their ability to put food on the table, as far as the ability to get jobs that give dignity not only to themselves but their families, right? There's certainly no way a whole president, Jacob Zuma, who has the most horrific track record in government, marred with state capture, whose track record has been very clear that he has zero interest but lining the pockets of his connected elite few, which is clearly to be seen by who gets to occupy the benches of the MK party. There's no way that person won, who has also been very clear in his communication publicly that he does not believe in the constitution that is the supreme law of this law of this land, that you would want to find yourself in bed with the same human being, because then he's anti the principles of the GNU. The same principle applies when you look at the EFF. People who themselves want to have a coup d'etat of a democratic regime, that they don't believe in democracy themselves. They've made it very clear that the current order of democracy as enshrined in the constitution is not one that they want to advance. So when thinking and reimagining where it is that government is supposed to go in rallying the troops, which are the South Africans, there's certainly no way in our sober mind we'd want to work with those people. And that is why, even before the formation of the multi-party charter, Penn, the DA was clear that we're going into the multi-party charter because we do not want to find ourselves in a situation where we have to reverse the gains, although not to their maximum point, the gains that we have in democracy. We want to make sure that we're able to move forward. But the multi-party charter, Zungula, as a person who was part of it, I'll be honest with you and tell you this, that the multi-party charter contract was clear that we are going to try as hard as we can to get the ANC out of power. And if we fail to do so, we're going to get another roadmap. And we failed to do so. Unfortunately, we didn't get the votes that we wanted. Ideally, we wanted to find ourselves in a situation where we don't have to deal with the ANC. But then we got there, the votes are not what they want. So we think beyond that. Plan one did not work. What is plan B? Plan B says, okay, we still have a problem where the ANC has failed in many ways. But if you allow these people who have failed in many ways to work with the MK and the EFF, who've shown themselves to be worse, actually even not equally, even if not equally as catastrophic, to work together, then we're not going to have a land left. We're not going to have South Africa. We're not going to have a republic left. So what do? So we take the less of all evils, right? We work with the ANC. We know that they have shortcomings, many of them, and that's why we're having these conversations right now about how we can reimagine South Africa. Unemployment is at its highest. Our economy is not growing where it's supposed to. We have people that are dying every day. The criminal system is yet to be inspiring. Education is still a problem. But can we work with them to where we can, given our scope of power, effect a difference that will mean that South Africans get to have a meaningful life, sure, rather do that. And then as time progresses, the hope we'll get rid of those people. One day we will have a South Africa that has a great inspiration of what the Democratic Alliance is able to do. And to show that actually that idea works, you finally have in the first 100 days of a GNU remarks about a government that is doing well. For example, look at Leon Schreiber in Home Affairs. He's been able to clear backlogs and do things in 100 days that people have failed to do in 30 years of democracy. You look at what Minister McPherson is doing within the Department of Public Works. Nobody would have known what the cost of the corruption mafia within the construction companies are had we not had a person who's happy to be a whistleblower instead of sweeping matters under the carpet and be honest about the realistic picture that that government is. He's committed commitment to making sure that not only do we use the current existing batch of properties within the country, but we revamp them in a way that still gives us the economic participation that we want. You look at the work that Steenhuisen himself has been doing. Nobody would have had an honest conversations about what happened during COVID-19 with funds that were supposed to make sure that agriculture is intact. Nobody would have done that because had you still had the same people, things would have been swept under the carpet. For the first time ever, we have a Minister of Communications and Digital Technologies that is not only looking at ways to work around BEE standards to grow connectivity in the country, is looking at ways of making sure that we have even rural areas being able to connect digitally because we are in an industrial revolution that dictates that technology should be a thing. But he's taken it a step further, Penn, to even want to relook, going to Treasury to have us relook at the classification of smartphones and the cost attached to it. Because the bottom line is you can't live gacharara in a lifetime. For example, I worry about my grandmother, Tabanchu. Nkhono ha ke khono mo romela WhatsApp. And it sounds ridiculous that I'm complaining that I can't send my grandmother WhatsApp, but it's important because something as simple as a grandmother in a rural area who has their child in Cape Town or anywhere, who's unable to digitally connect what life looks like to them, who's unable to receive money in a way that still works, who's unable to communicate to make sure, something as simple as that is something that will grow a great way and a great mile in ensuring that we not only transform the face of society as far as digital connection is concerned, but we're able to bridge the gaps between rural communities and urban communities. So these are just little things, and I can go on and on. I can tell you what Sibu is doing. So there's a whole lot of things that we're supposed to do that Zungula himself probably wouldn't have even been able to get right, even if he was in the GNU, and that's why he's bitter.
Thank you. Jeez, that was a lot. Let's just note that she was only highlighting the DA ministers there in the GNU. Sorry, Eddie, you were shaking your right leg when Uvuyo was speaking, and then you were called the small boy in the room. And then I saw your left leg shaking, so I don't know which one you want to attack first.
For keeping the decorum of the discussion,
yes.
The young fellow aspect, let's talk about it outside. It's on a lighter note. Let's get to what the core of this talk is about. Yeah. There is a misconception that is rooted deep into this criticism, especially from Honorable Zungula and his crew. And secondly, it's a very easy exercise to criticize. Very easy exercise. One day, maybe before the show ends, my dear brother, Honorable Zungula must tell us how far they are with that Progressive Caucus as an alternative. Because it's 100 days, we must show each other notes. He must not ask us to show his our mathematics book while he's hiding his accounting book and it's empty. Secondly, is that the misconception is that we have problems with people because of who they are politically. As the PAC, a thief is a thief. With brown hair, black hair, long nose, short nose, a thief is a thief because the consequence is the same. So our attitude towards Mrs. Helen, towards Jacob, towards any other thief is the same.
Helen is not a thief.
Wow. You were asking others to hold themselves. I'm saying this to say to you, if somebody expects us to have a horrible attitude against the DA, let me just put it into context so that people understand what we are talking about. We have a problem with monopoly, which controls the economy, and that economy gets centralized in the hands of the minority, a few group of white fellows, and all of us must suck up to them. When we say white fellows, it's not because we have a problem of race. When the thief is white, we're going to say it like that. He's a white thief. When the thief is black, we'll also return the favor. That Mshulo is a black thief. Black as we are, Pan-Africanist as we are. We are not going to be blackmailed about non-issues. Honorable Zungula, we did not chase anybody out. Anybody, every leadership from its own organization reserved its monopoly. Everybody had to respect. When you come to those caucuses and say, this is what your organization would want, we must respect that. Whether what you are saying, we see it strategic or unstrategic, we have no swing to advise or say anything. The part that these comrades are not mentioning is that there was a advertised plan alternative to GNU. Some letters written to IEC complaining about the elections, some attempt to go to the international court. We traveled that journey. We told these newcomers very well that criticizing elections is a long marathon. If you want to take it, you need 25 million minimum, and you are going to come back with an order of the court with a few sentences. Because you criticize the IEC to the same courts. The same commissioners are appointed by the same state that is going to appoint the same judges. You take it further. You go to the international criminal courts. Who signs the agreements on behalf of the country in those international forums? The same government that is appointing these judges. Now, a group of friends is standing a queue. Yours is to keep on popping out money. We are moving from the constitutional court. We are going to the apex court. You are dealing with the same cartel. We told them. They kept on advertising that. And we, on behalf of the PAC, as the leadership, we have a responsibility to take care of the PAC and its interests. No leader must come and tell us we are going to an international court and we must fold our hands and wait for another leader. I'm not a follower of any leader. I'm a leader of people who are inside the PAC and the society at large. So comrades are bitter at us for not taking what they wanted us to do. And we are equal participation. We had equal participation. They brought their view to the table. We brought our view. In our understanding, their view was inferior and will never see the light of day. History must prove whether we were correct or wrong. Not insults on Twitter and the ugly pageant of Figile and Madame. Very irresponsible leadership. The two of them are supposed to be the seniorest in terms of numerics. Electorally, they are the seniorest, right? In terms of numbers. It is them who have got a bigger responsibility to keep the ship going. But it's them who are playing the most irresponsible spats of throwing each other with a pageant of throwing an useful English Monday to Monday, night in, night out. That is not going to take us anywhere. We are running a very sensitive environment. Everybody must bring their level of respect to somebody so that this ship can get going and our people can benefit. What are we busy with, Comrade Zungula? We know, and we are alive to the realities, very alive to the realities, that we are leftists. We are not agreeing with any of these policies that are inside this government. But there is low-hanging fruits that just need the willingness politically. Political willingness. They don't need a new law. They just need a minister with the willingness politically to do something. Now, here, we are saying, we have uprooted, number one. Let's tell you what we are doing. There was mediocrity happening. A gang of fools running up and down our government offices in suits. We're doing nothing. Well, they're thinking a lot of nothing. Look at their documents. Look at how much of time they've been in office and tell me what they're busy with. Now, today, we are not saying we've got best ministers. We are saying to you, there is sensible talking. Inside cabinet, you can sense that you are inside cabinet. Not that gimmick that the ANC was busy with. Cabinet meetings are typed before cabinet seats. Huh? And then lives of our people are decisions are taken like that over cell phones because one leader is late, the other because they are friends of the ANC. We must fold hands, Comrade Zungula, my dear brother. Look and continue to look and continue to lie at each other and say, no, no, we will write a letter in Parliament. We will make a speech in Parliament. You know, we're a progressive caucus in Parliament. Electoral reality is that Madame has got a bigger say than us numerically. We must be realistic, me and you, when we speak. We must not speak as if we are the second biggest political parties, me and you. Our tone must match our electoral numbers. Simple as that.
So before I come back to Putu Vuyo, yeah. You seem to insinuate,
yes.
You can correct me if I'm wrong,
yes.
That the IEC, the judges, all the way up to the ICC seem to be captured, number one. Wait, before you answer. And then secondly, you know, Uau Sukarabo spoke very well about some of the ministers in the GNU who happen to be blue. You've got a ministry as well, land reform and rural development. If you can maybe, I know it's a short time, you mentioned Brother Ibrahim Traore. If there's anything maybe that has been happening in the first 100 days with that ministry, especially because the land is such a sensitive part of the PAC's identity.
We are saying to you, anybody who has got a land claim that is on our desk, there is a pen today to sign them off. Simple as that. We don't even want to, once somebody brings a claim, we consult. The claim is legitimate legally, and these people qualify. We don't have to waste a lot of time. The mediocre of NC comrades of speaking a lot of English that they don't even hear themselves. National development, what? What is needed here is political willingness. Imagine in other areas, the claims are as clear as broad daylight. Somebody's bringing an affidavit that is recent. The other one is bringing the one that is longer. We just have to use logic and sense. These ones are taking chances. They've just organized an affidavit. We don't need an investigation.
Before you carry on, yes.
So Leon,
hundreds and hundreds of hectares of farms are being dished out by the minister, on a daily basis. Check our Facebook pages, check our Twitters. We are signing off. Our people are getting land, that's, day in, day out.
That's what I was trying to confirm. We've been getting a lot of media stories about the work Leon Schreiber has done at Home Affairs.
Yes.
So as you're speaking about Will Sign, you can say in the first 100 days, you guys can say there's a lot of land we've already signed off on.
Hundreds of millions are already out, worth of rents of farms. I'm not telling you a theoretical story. Sit down tomorrow, you're a journalist. In your spare time, your journalistic skills, stretch them a little bit. Go into our social media accounts. You will find us signing. We are carrying checks on those. We're not talking a lot. We are carrying paperwork. Communities are clapping hands. We are signing.
Thank you. The part on the capture.
Aha. Very interesting part. Very, very interesting, my dear brother. To South Africans, we must be very realistic to ourselves. There's one thing that we are very good at, telling a lie until we believe it ourselves. We are good liars until we believe those lies and they sink in our heads and they make headlines daily. Maybe let's teach you how to capture a state. Because people behave that if we speak like this, we don't know how a state is captured. It's easy to capture a state. Let me give you a practical example of what's happening locally so that you can understand how a state is captured. An ANC branch will be operating there. There'll be construction and many other tenders dished out. The people who are dishing those tenders out must fund that branch, right, for the branch to survive. In the long run, those business people become politicians themselves. They choose who must be chairman of the branch. They choose who must be a candidate. Up until they are senior leaders today, they are contesting to be presidents. The state does not need to be captured by some people from very far. Our own brothers, they must not tell us some Indians came here and captured the state. When they brought Indians themselves because they were looking for money to go to elections. To capture the state, you must capture the African National Congress.
Sure.
Then the African National. Now, if you say to me that lie we're speaking with Comrade Judge Zondo, the state is captured, it's a big lie. If the state is captured, why is he not captured? He's part of the state. Why is this? If he can't say to us the state is captured and expect to see the other side of the table. We're also going to jump and see the other side. We're also jump. Who will remain in the state?
So if all of us say the state is captured and all of us stand up and say, no, the state is captured, who will remain the state? The state is not some tables and desks in those offices. It's human beings that are alive who are signing papers off on a daily basis.
Thank you so much. I'd like to give Brother Vuyo a chance. A lot of clapbacks. Without disintegrating into a debate, I'd like to ask you what you would prefer to see if not a GNU/Grand Coalition. And Upra Edi raised a very important part of the other side, the progressive forces, the fight to take the IEC for some type of corruption with election rigging, etc. What do you have to say about that? Because the media and many others are celebrating 100 days and there are still many people that are aggrieved. So what would you prefer to see instead of what we have currently? And to maybe for people that are interested, how far has that work gone, if at all, to date?
Look, there's nothing wrong with a Grand Coalition. Absolutely nothing wrong. There is something wrong when there is a coalition, but it is termed something else. Remember 1994, there was election outcomes. And in those outcomes, they said there's a threshold. Every party that is below that threshold will not be in government, meaning will not be in the executive. In 1994, there were opposing parties, parties that hated each other. But because there was an idea to unite the country, they had to work together regardless of how different they may be. So in the context of what is happening now, you can't be subjective and say you can't work with NK and EFF for certain reasons. Because equally, the PAC can say, but the DA, they've always said the DA are representing land thieves. So... Thank you.
It hasn't changed.
Thank you. So that is why you are saying Tina is the ATM. There's nothing wrong. But tell people what you are actually doing. Do not mislead people and say it is something different.
Sorry, just to get in there. So you're fine with what's happening. It's just the communication to the public you have an issue with.
I'm getting there. Okay. So our view is that if you don't have a party that has an outright majority, the best thing that could happen in the country is an alignment of parties that share or have similar policies and ideologies, because that creates, number one, policy certainty, and it makes sure that the government is able to operate efficiently because there's an alignment of policies. Not have a case whereby one party now believes that the minimum wage should be lowered, the other party saying the minimum wage is right where it is. Another party saying the Bella Bill is incorrect. The other party saying, but the Bella Bill is correct. Another party, the DA, says the president is wrong by saying Russia is an ally and a friend to this, to South Africa, whereas the ANC, or in fact the state president, president of the same government that they are part of, is making those utterances. So that creates a state whereby there's not going to be stability because there's different views which will impact now the policies on the ground that are going to impact the daily lives of our people. So our view was to say, just get parties that have got similar policies and ideologies, because it makes it easier. But once you've got opposing parties that are opposed in terms of policies, you are going to see practically when things are happening. For example, you know, this notion that certain parties are anti-constitution for wanting to amend a constitution, it is something that we need to reject, because a constitutional amendment process is constitutional. Similarly, we had Ms. Zille of the DA saying they're not going to support the impeachment of Mr. Ramaphosa, meaning they are anti-constitution because it is constitutional. It is a constitutional process to impeach a president for violating Section 89 or in line with Section 89. So what we have here in the when it comes to the GNU is that people are making utterances based on what is making sense to them, instead of staying true to the principle. And the principle, Tina, that you are saying as the ATM, if you are talking about an idea of uniting the country, you do not have a leeway of choosing who to work with because of their policies, because you want to unite. And it is not about Mr. Zuma. It is about the electorate. You can't, on one side, and you say you hate Mr. Zuma. On the other side, you're saying, but you want to represent the very same people who voted MK Party to be in parliament. It can't be. If it is about the electorate, then it must be always about the electorate. Put aside the players that be, because you find that the DA was in support of the impeachment of Mr. Ramaphosa a few years ago. But because now they are saying, let's put the country forward, we are going to work with Mr. Ramaphosa for whatever reason. They are fine with that. But when it comes to MK and EFF, suddenly now the ball, the rules are changing. So that is not principle-based politics. If we are principled, we are going to have a state whereby there's a certain threshold. If we're saying from a party with 5 seats going up, they are going to be part of the GNU, then that is what a GNU is all about. But when you choose which parties to be with and not to be with, then it becomes a coalition. Now, the role of parties that are not part of the GNU is equally very important, because our constitutional democracy system in our country encourages a multi-party democracy system, firstly, whereby there's opposition parties to hold the people that are in government accountable. Therefore, there's no obsession from us as ATM to say we wanted to be part of the GNU. Never, not even once, did we go to a meeting with the ANC or in the Progressive Caucus and we say, hey, but we want to be inside. If we are not given a position, we'll come back. That was not our thinking. Our thinking was to say, the people that want the blue lights, let them go in there. But the people that want to safeguard the interests of the country will play that role of being, playing the role of being opposition. And that is what we are doing.
That's not what you're doing.
Sorry, the second part was just, if you were to give an update to people that supported the Progressive Caucus on what work you've done, where it's been, or if you guys have abandoned that.
No, the Progressive Caucus is still functioning. You'll recall that even now in Parliament, all 5 parties, it is MK, EFF, NCC, ATM and UAT. All of those parties, we've been submitting motions. We remember that the EFF submitted a motion about establishing a committee to deal with the question of extortion. That is, amongst others, the work that we're doing as the ATM. We submitted a motion on rent manipulation so that Parliament actually does hold inquiries on the questions of rent manipulation. So we're not just a caucus that is standing in the sidelines saying this is wrong, this is wrong. But we are putting motions in place that are debated in Parliament, and other parties reject such motions. DA rejected the establishment of a committee that would sit and, investigate the extortions ring that we're having in the country. So the Progressive Caucus is not a caucus that is all about crying foul or identifying mistakes of the government. When the government is doing the right things, we are correctly behind them. Like now, on the issue of Israel and Palestine, we are 100% behind the government on the position of saying they must close the Israeli embassy and make sure that the people of Palestine receive justice. Now, you can't now say we are opposing the government, because when the government is right, we support them. When we feel that the government is making a mistake, it is our duty to provide an alternative, and that is what we are doing.
Very quickly, in closing, are you still challenging the IEC on the election results?
We are challenging the IEC. We read today that the IEC requested an extension to file their papers. Okay. I don't know why, because they were confident a few months ago. So we are challenging those elections because we believe that if there's something wrong in any place in our country, whether it is the management of the elections, it is when it comes to delivery of the SASA grants, we must never allow ourselves to keep quiet simply because there's some bit of benefit to us as a parties.
Thank you. Oscarabo, sorry, again, I'm trying to not get us to, degenerate into a debate. Ukoko Helen has had a few issues with some of the happenings around the GNU. There have been threats of exiting, especially with the Bella Bill and others. Are these threats real? And if they're real, how would the DA explain to everyone who supports them, to the country at large, that, look, we're happy to let the MK EFF work with the ANC because of these few clauses in the Bella Bill or something else?
Before I do that, I think I can't let this slide because there's a.
Short,
I'll try.
Possible. Thank you.
So there's a whole lot that doesn't make sense in the order of Zungula's thoughts. First of all, you cannot in your brain say that the post-apartheid, the National Party and the ANC hated each other, but they hated each other because of democracy. It's fine, they can work together. And then come back 30 years later and say, no, but the DA and the ANC and Azania hate each other, but they can work together because that's not fine. That logic does not work.
I think you're thinking about, let's say, a DA and an MK.
No, hold on. I heard, so the primary example he was making when he was talking about making sure that political parties that share the same line of thoughts, the same ideologies work together, it's the same thing. So you can't in your brain say that you want to have political parties who work together solely if their ideologies are on the same track, if you are also of the opinion that South Africans find themselves in a situation where they need more than just ideological conversations on the table to move them forward. Practically, if we are all going to find ourselves where we're able to emancipate South Africans to the full extent of that which is dictated by the electorate to government, you then need to be comfortable finding yourself in a situation where, yes, I do not agree in Azania's approach on how to deal with land. He's never going to agree with me. But because we understand that we're supposed to find a consensus in a way that will meet the best interests of majority of the room, we are going to do it. And on the basis of that, we are not going to call it a coalition simply because it was not apartheid and apartheid. It wasn't a conversation that happened post-apartheid and in the beginning of democracy. So that logic does not rest with me. As far as the work that they are doing in parliament and them being progressive as consent, he's lying. Because the current progressive, I am a member of parliament in the same parliament he's in. The work that the progressive caucus is doing is entirely weak. If anything, since the Democratic Alliance's exit of the opposition benches, the benches are naked. I'll tell you how. Outside of the motions that they brief to that they give to Parliament, a Parliament that his political party is unable to fully man because there's only two of them, outside of those motions that they bring for debates and outside of letters that they write, the actual meat of oversight on the work of the executive is seen within committees. They're not there. They are never there, those people. The majority of political parties that are in the opposition, that is the MK, that is the EFF, that is the ATM and all the other people that he listed, they are not inside committees to really, really scrutinize the books of government. And if they are in committees, the truth is that most of them who hold the muscle of oversight, which would be in the case of the MK party and the EFF, have very, very poor capacity and quality to actually engage with the work that they're doing. The MK party, for example, themselves. There are a bunch of whole new people who are still going through orientation right now, very much confused about what it is that Parliament is supposed to do. Zero decorum, their whippery itself is very naked, weak, and unable to give direction for what South Africans need. So that is the truth. The second thing, when you look at the EFF, yes, has always been clear, and Malema himself has given clear directions that people must be on the ground and not in Parliament because that's where they're supposed to garner votes. So how are you going to go back to the ground and tell people that they must vote for you when you're not exercising the job of being in parliament for the reasons that you said people must vote for you? So you must be very honest about the nakedness of this thing. Gokzilla and Mbalula.
Sabona.
So, we were clear going into the GNU that we are not in a dream imagining that we're going to fall in love with each other, that it's going to be a soapy that is beautiful. I finally see the beast is no longer a beast. He's a handsome guy and we're going to fall in love. We were clear, we knew what it's going to take. And we were honest to say, look, fundamentally, education is not something to play with. Education dictates where the future is going to be. And an integral part of our education system is mother tongue language, right? Because statistics show very clearly that kids that have, from the onset of their cognitive ability to consume things, who learn in their mother tongue first or while doing so in the mother tongue, on the same time do that in English, have better prospects of being able to function in school, have better prospects of learning, they have better prospects of making it in life. And And when we see that, and on the basis of that, we cannot rationally, as the DA that wants to transform the face of our educational sector, be comfortable with not fighting to ensure that, irrespective of whether you are a Piet van der Walt in Stellenbosch or Unthabiseng Maqalepo ka hara Welkom, you should be able to horna o rutwa ka Sesotho o ashe in Afrikaans leer. You find yourself in the same kind of privilege. And that is a bone of contention with the Bella Bill. And that's why we will never be able to comfortably go back to the nation to say, we are happy to allow the bill to progress as it is, because then we would be failing the nation. If we want to make sure that we have the literacy rates that go up, if we want to make sure that we have matriculants that are able to become something in life outside of just being unemployed or even not being able to meet a threshold that affords them access to tertiary education, these are the things that we're going to do. And that's why Helen is fighting as hard as she is, and the rest of us are as well. How will we?
GPS signal is lost, but we're still here.
Let's continue. How are we going to explain it to the electorate that we went back and we handed them to the wolves, which are what we have characterized the MK party and the EFF to be? It's going to be a hard one, and we don't want to find ourselves there. That's why we're working as hard as we are. Penwell, we don't want to find ourselves in a situation where we hand over our country to a network of thugs that have zero interest in serving South Africans. And that's why we're in the GNU. And so we're working hard. That's why in the dispute resolution committee, we've sent Dean McPherson there. We've asked, as far as the Bella is concerned, for Siviwe and John to engage the president to make sure that we're able to get the things that we want, to make sure that South Africans are there. And I think we downplay this conversation when we talk about the threats that we're making. Sure, that's the reality. But the bottom line is we want to make sure that when we look back at the work that Mayor Jane Sithole is doing in the Department of Small Business Development, we're able to see her footprint in making sure that enough young up-and-coming kids, and I call them kids because I'm a kid, right? Kids are able to have their businesses up there and are able to succeed. Where you have Dirt Out Welkom, which is the guy that does my sneakers and everybody else back at home at Welkom, who has an actual big brand out there because that's what the Department of Small Business Development is able to do. We want to be able to make sure that when we have conversations about water infrastructure, when we talk about people having access to water, then I don't have to go back to my constituency in Viljoenskroon, Kia Marikana, Le Phahameng, and talk to people who have never seen water for 26 years. That infrastructure is solved, that grants are received properly by municipalities, and people have access, I can enjoy the freedom that people in your leafy burbs of your Houghton and your Camps Bay get to enjoy. That is what we want to ensure. When we talk about trade and industry, we want to make sure that we're able to look back and look at how much trade were we able to do, how much industry have we been able to expand that directly impacts our GDP, that directly impacts our unemployment statistics, that directly impacts our poverty skills, to reduce them, to grow the economy and make sure that we create enough jobs for everybody to live a dignified life. We want to make sure, Penwell, that when we have conversations currently, as is the case with electricity, that sure, we dark days are gone because electricity is, we don't have load shedding, which we thought was a scam going into the election, right? But beyond that, that we don't have a case where Eskom gets to charge you as much as they want. Because the bottom line is that since 2007, we have had 450% increases of electricity. And now Eskom wants to charge us 30% more. And the bottom line is we can't continue to fund the failings of Eskom. Because even outside of those, of the increases, Eskom also, with the new publications, has an opportunity to charge you what they call a makeup tariff that can go as high as however much they want to. And that is a problem for South Africans, because we shouldn't be in a situation where we must choose between buying Pufia Papa Le Pil Chate and putting the lights on in the house, where we must choose whether we're going to pay our rates and taxes and whether it shouldn't be a tit for tat. So
thank you.
That is what we are.
In the spirit of time, and I'd like to give you guys the floor. I've got so many more questions, but like I said, it's not about me. For those that maybe are tuning in who are watching us online, if you'd like to see the first part with Justice Malala, where we're at Boss and Action SA, please tune in Podcast Party SA. And we are being hosted by Democracy Unplugged. Your name, very quick question. You can give it to the floor. Depending on what the question is, we may give it to other people so that all the panelists have a fair chance.
Thanks, guys. Evening, everyone. My name is Xavier Bapu. No affiliation to any parties. Very quick question, very simple. I don't think it's been tackled enough, but there's zero transparency inside the GNU. Honorable Zungula, I don't think it's for you because you're not in the GNU. But we don't know the structures. We don't know the consultations, who's on these cabinets, who's behind these meetings. The media is not allowed in these meetings. There's no disclosure from the president or the parties on what's in the meetings. Is that going to change?
Thank you, Xavier. Please don't be shy. This is your chance. Thank you.
Quick question for all the parties on the stage. I think most people just want to know, what does a government of national unity that works for the people look like from the perspective of each of your parties?
So I just want to put a point of clarification, Ben. My name is Kanthan Pillay. My name is Kanthan Pillay. I'm the author of How to Fix South Africa and Owner's Manual, and I'll make sure that I get copies to each and every one of you, especially my brother from the Pan-Africanist Congress, because the first chapter is devoted to addressing the land question. And there are significant solutions that can kick in that you'll be able to implement. But I want to point out the difference between the GNU of 1994 and the what we have today is that the GNU of 1994 was mandated by the interim constitution that was drawn up by CODESA. It's an entirely different scenario that we have right now. And in as much I'm broadly supportive of what this current government is doing, it is not a GNU, it is a grand coalition, because it is not constitutionally mandated. It's very different from the agreement that kicked in 1994, because the ANC was a majority government at the time, but they had no choice but to make F.W. de Klerk deputy president of the country. So we must not try and repurpose epithets that actually existed 30 years ago in order to create an illusion that we are returning to Mandela 2.0 under Ramaphosa, because he's not, and he has to answer for Palapala. So I think it's important to get that out there.
Thank you, Kanthan. Can we get one or two more, please? It's a safe space. The political parties are looking to...
I'll ask a question. It's a really simple question, man. We have seen horse trading. We've seen backdoor negotiations. Why should any of us trust any of you? Genuinely. Because you guys mentioned it earlier on. Before the election, it was multi-party chart. After election, it's GNU. Before the election, it was, we'll never work with these people. Sning Ning, no, we'll work with them. Last week, when Michael Beaumont and Nobuntu were here, they pointed out that, no, we came out with certain slogans and we only got 1.2% of the vote. That means we need to change. Why should we trust you? The amount of flip-flopping that happens within South African politics is enough to drive anyone crazy. So my question is that simple. Why should we trust any of you?
Thank you, Jack. Praedi, I'd like to start with you. Many Pan-Africanists are very passionate about getting the land back and about what's happened in this country. You speak about land thieves and the like. Many of them feel like you guys have sold out. I don't know how you'd address that the Pan-Africanist Congress of Sobukwe is now working with land thieves. And to part of the questions, the trust. I'd like to start with you. I'll go to Uvuyo, and then one of the questions I'll give to Auskarabo.
Well, from time to time when we discuss the land question with people, we, especially this Johnny come to Joburg, who are seeing the land, everyone is seeing about the land. And we discover that these people do not understand what we're talking about. That's why they want us to answer the land question today, because we're in the Ministry of Land and Rural Development. And we discover that then these guys do not understand exactly what they're talking about. In simple terms, my dear brother, we're not talking about the land. We're talking about the wealth of this nation, the economics. The land, we mean everything below, above, on air, the wealth of this nation. That is what is of concern to us. My dear brother, let me start with you with the question of why must we trust us? It's a very unfortunate situation you find yourself in. The political landscape in South Africa has, you know, leadership is a collective process. Even those who are being led have a responsibility. Not to ask how far the leaders, they have a role to play, an active role to play. That is leadership. Now, once the followers abdicate their responsibility, do you know what you find? You find these things that the ANC does. Poverty alleviation program, and people get one plate of food and go home, find poverty waiting at the door. In that program of poverty alleviation, there's a big banner of hundreds of thousands saying today we are in a program of poverty alleviation. And you sit down and look at that event and you wonder, what is alleviating poverty about that whole setup? Nothing. So I'm saying to you, when we talk about the land, my dear brother, we mean the economic strength. Even those who are in the stock exchange and the reserve banks, and today they are not, they want to claim that, no, we're not owning any land. Ours is insurance companies. Those insurance companies are business entities in our republic done with our citizens. Therefore, we have this essay. Let's get down to the second question. You know, my dear brother, I said it to you earlier on that there's something fundamentally wrong with us South Africans. Somebody was saying, even in cabinet meetings. Genuine meetings. That expectation is a child of the sensationalization of politics by the media. As a result, political parties and political leaders followed suit. Hence, you find a senior cadre like Helen Zille, from a private meeting that has got potential of collapsing the whole government and taking to Twitter. How careless can that be? What brings about the need from her side to go to Twitter? Sensationalization. What makes a leader of such a big organization, Fikile Mbalula, to go to Twitter and be extremely irresponsible about sensitive information? Is sensationalization. So even our journalists today, my dear brother, there's little investigative journalism. Journalism is done on social media, is half-cooked journalism with little investigation. You know, you find a journalist with confidence on TV saying a lot of nothing, allowing politicians to get away with murder. So I'm saying to you, leadership, it's a collective process of leaders and those that are being led. So South Africans themselves, the mess they are in is the type of setup they deserve. It is of their own making. Every society, let me tell you this, my dear brother, every society deserves their leader. Establish who is this leader? Who is he from? There's no leader who fell from the sky and just people were surprised to see him. Even the most horrific leader the world has ever seen, at some stage, there were fellow countrymen singing his name, convincing others that he's the best. So we are. I'm saying all this to say to you, we are not in the business of insulting people. If there's one thing you must hold the PAC and its leaders accountable for, one big thing you must hold us accountable for, if the GNU collapses, don't be of our making. You will never see us do anything irresponsible that is going to jeopardize the stability of the GNU. Comrade Zungula, let's teach you this as a homework to go home with. We understand democratic centralism very clear in our organization, how we run that organization. Democratic centralism is a key principle that says, if you have a view, you bring your view, you have got the right to converse your view, you bring it to the meeting. Once your views does not see the light of day, no need for qualms. You understand, your maturity must kick in and understand that in politics,
We contest ideas with better ideas, meaning your idea today was not better. The better ideas are the light of day. We don't fight. We don't even throw a thing. We don't start those things of posting ugly pictures on our each other's Twitter accounts. That's been childish. We must face the reality for what it is. You went all out with your research, tried to convince us. We are not convinced. And here we are where we are. Whether Msholozi is ill-treated, whether Malema is ill-treated, I treat them like non-voters in South Africa. If they take a decision not to come to a GNU caucus, we are going to take decisions like we take decisions for people who are saying, we are staying at home as Zingeni. Even if I was Zingeni, our decisions are going to be binding to your life. So even if Nabo, they continue with operating outside buildings, bang as Zingeni, decisions are going to be taken that are including in their lives, and they are going to be binding. That's democratic centralism. When you do not have the necessary numbers, you appreciate the democracy as it happens. You speak as according to your volume advised by the numbers.
Before we need to go, Praedi, I think we've got a question. Did you want to add something to what he's saying?
Yeah.
Please. There's a mic behind you.
Going back to...
Please, if possible.
Mia.
Mia, thanks.
Going back to your point on sensationalism, I don't think... I could be misinterpreting this. I don't think that's why people are wanting to see inside these meetings. Like you said earlier, a private meeting means that there is the possibility of corruption. Now, you're talking about, we're talking about trust here. Whether or not it's sensationalized, how is the general public supposed to actually trust what is going on if we don't have access to the conversations that take place? Further, you were talking earlier about how South Africans are good at lying to themselves. That would be even more reason for us to not trust any of you. So are you really going to prioritize avoiding sensationalism over access to information, which I personally think the public has a right to?
Thank you, Mia.
Just in
one sentence. And then we have to come to put voice.
My dear sister, you know, we are in the communication space, don't worry. The freedom of information, we respect that much. Hence, what we consider to be of public consumption is going to be put out there. But look at the situation we are in and put ourselves in our shoes and look at the characters we are dealing with. And tell me if opening those meetings will yield any results. In effect, it is going to create more chaos. We are busy managing Madame and Figil. Now if more people know, there will be Madame, her gang, Figil, her gang. Those who have got journalists in their pocket, there will be an extension of journalists now. Those who have got media houses in their pockets, there will be an extension of media. Now there will be a whole fiasco that is not going to drive the necessary outcomes that we anticipate. So it's just being responsible about information.
Thank you. Oscarabo, you'll also touch on it when you get a chance. Putvoyo, you raised something about our government's stance in terms of foreign policy, and I'd like you to touch on that. How important, in your understanding, as a member of government and parliament, is South Africa having one voice in terms of international policy, whether it's Russia, Ukraine, Israel, Palestine, even the issues of BRICS and the West? We still get murmurings of a new world order. Some people are even saying we could be on the precipice of World War III. How important is that, in your opinion, number one? And then if you could maybe try and attack one of the questions, maybe assuming you are part of the GNU, what would your party have to offer the electorate?
Look, the question or the principle of having a government, we have a government, you don't have a federal government whereby the national government communicates like this. You go to the different states or the regions, there's a completely different attitude or utterances.
As an example, our main government says we're pro-Palestine and then the Western Cape says we're pro-Israel, as an example.
we don't have such in our country, in our constitution. You've got one government, one South African government. Therefore, the presumption is that once the government has taken a position, my brother has spoken about democratic centralism, whether party A or party B in the GNU disagrees, but if it is a government position, then the party in that government of national unity must articulate the position of government, whether they like it or not.
Government in that case?
In this case, it is the parties. That is why they're saying the 11 parties that have signed the statement of intent are the government, they themselves are the government of national unity.
But if someone like the president of the country has a stance, and there are very key members in the GNU that disagree, is that still the voice of government?
Exactly. That is why it is a problem. Okay. Remember, one of the questions that was asked as to what would make the country to move forward. And we said if parties that are part of the government of national unity or a coalition, there is ideological or policy similarities because the message will be one. In the case whereby you have a party that is in government contradicting the very same president, because John Steinhausen serves at the behest of the president. He can't be now contradicting the president. It goes against the principle of having a government. Now, you can't have a case whereby the government, and remember, parties can advance whatever that they want to advance. But if the cabinet takes a position, it becomes a position of government. It becomes a position of me and you in the country. Now, it cannot be that now a key player in the very same government is contradicting what the majority might have decided. It goes against the principle that we're talking about the democratic centralism. So that is why you find the president of the country is not going to Russia in the BRICS summit as a president of the ANC. He's going there as a president of the country. He must be afforded the respect that is a president of the country. And when he makes a statement to say Russia is an ally or a friend to South Africa, where the Party A or Party B does not, maybe if they were in opposition, they have the leeway to oppose the government because they're opposition. But if you are part of government, you can't have pieces whereby you say you agree and then you've got other pieces and you say, but I don't agree, because that is not the principle of having government. So that is the answer to your question. Then the question, I think it was asked, what would make South Africa to work? What kind of government would make South Africa to work? It is plain simple. Get parties that have got an alignment to work together. That all is needed, because there's going to be policy certainty and there's not going to be contradictions like we hear now, whereby the government and the president of the country communicates a position on behalf of the government, but is contradicted by someone who sits in the very same cabinet. And you're not going to have fights or squabbles over petty things, because the focus will be doing the work. And the last issue on this question, in 1994, the country got compromised. People were fighting for land before 1994. They were fighting for the transformation of the economy. What did we get? We got a compromise. Even the constitution, it was a compromise. Even Mr. Ramaphosa, if you listen to his interviews, he was saying that part of the negotiation or CODESA processes was that it was compromise. Now, 30 years later, we've seen that this compromise has not yielded any results for the majority of our citizens. Therefore, under the GNU that has got parties from the extreme left and parties from the extreme right, we are going to continue with compromise, which will not yield any results for the citizens. And on the question of the ministers working, you know, you can take someone who's out of prison now, or someone who did not even go to school and you make him a minister, he's going to do something. So there'll always be something that is done. So there's nothing special about praising a fish for swimming, because that is what is expected. Sure. But if perhaps the question should be, what can we measure the success of the GNU or a government on? What are the key metrics? You know, when it comes to our country, what are the key things that are problematic? It is unemployment. It is crime. It is illegal immigration. Therefore, it is landlessness. Therefore, if we're to base or subject this government to scrutiny, if we can look at those metrics, then we can reach a conclusion whether it is failing or it is not failing. But if we are going to clap hands because there's a certain minister who signed a certain document, he's expected to sign a document. You can take someone who did not even go to school, you teach them how to sign, they will sign. But And that is what happens sometimes when, you know, you want to create a sensation or you want to make yourself believe that something is working. You want to have easy wins and you praise yourself over something that is basic, because the very same things that are done now by the ministers of the DA, one person can say, but the ANC ministers in other departments were doing actually the same things, but on the key metrics, unemployment, inequality, poverty, landlessness, and illegal immigration, where are we as a country?
In 100 days.
Pastor Rabo, I don't think I need to say anything. You look like you're itching. And then after you, if you guys have any short closing remarks, and then we'll wrap up. Thank you.
Okay, I'll respond, and then I think there were four questions that came from the floor. I'll address those. So first of all, Zungula, I think it is incredibly irresponsible for you as a whole president of a political party who knows you're going to have engagements publicly, to at least not make sure that the basic information that you're going to talk about, you have it as fact. First of all, the both of us here are in the GNU, and we can tell you for a fact, the president did not go to cabinet and talk to cabinet about what it is that he's going to, about our position as far as Russia as an ally is concerned. So the conversation is, and it is on the basis of that, that we as the Democratic Alliance have a problem to say, President Shaw, you are the president and you can go talk on behalf of the country. But on issues of contention, such as what divides political parties in the GNU, you have a responsibility to make sure that even if we don't agree, consult us. Don't go and, yes, we have a BRICS and it works and we have clear reasons why we want to do that. But you don't go on behalf of the country, say that you are that Russia is an ally of a GNU when nobody within your GNU yourself mandated you to go do that. And
you
that is the problem.
The president was wrong to say that.
He was wrong because he did not.
It's not the position of government.
It's not the position of, it's the position of the ANC. 100%, and it's consistently the case, but it is not the position of the G. And that's, and he's right actually by saying that what is supposed to happen is that because of democratic centralization, that there must be an agreement. If there isn't an agreement, then majority must have the argument. In this case, there wasn't a majority conversation that won the argument.
Can I just ask him to just give one line? You wanted to say something about BRICS?
South
very briefly, please.
Is a member of BRICS, and how they've always stated that China, Russia, India, they are friends, they are allies. The president simply said that in a different way. So he did not need to come out and say, okay, I'm going to say that Russia is an ally. Because it's been the fact that South Africa is part of BRICS, South Africa, the country, not the ANC, is a BRICS partner, and South Africa. That is why...
No, let's shut it down there. I just wanted that part.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And I think he raises an important part. And that's why I raised it to say, yes, there's BRICS, and we were part of it, and we have clear relationships that exist. But you need to... You don't need to agree with what I'm saying.
Please continue. The thing,
what I'm saying here is, context also matters, right? So beyond just conversations that are happening internationally about economically where we're going as far as our participation in BRICS is concerned, there are certain conversations that I had and perceptions that are made with context behind them, which I won't share here because it would be irresponsible as a GNU person to do so. I won't do that. Mm-hmm. But there's certain contexts that, because we know them, we know why the president's statement is a problem. But I'll forgive you because you're not part of the team. You wouldn't know.
We're running out of time, just so you guys know. Thank you.
On the transparency of the meetings, on the transparency of the meetings, and I'm going to marry that to the trust question on why you should. So, unfortunately, the bottom line is we went into GNU having inherited a deeply ill-disciplined set of leadership across political parties. And I'll include my own political party as concerned.
Yeah, it's true.
Because, no, even you yourself. No, so there is an element of ill-discipline amongst politicians, because even your meetings yourselves, there are leaks there. We know what's been happening there. Sometimes in DA caucuses, you have leaks that are there, which shouldn't be the case because they should be disciplined. But because we know that there's a culture of ill discipline amongst politicians, which is there because human beings, by virtue of being human, are fallible. What we're supposed to do going into these conversations is to shield the system and the public from any possibility of tanking these conversations moving forward in the best interest of the country. That's why when you are going through counseling, You don't go through counseling on a television, TV, for everybody to go see you, because then it's not going to help, right? You do it...
I've been told that we've got 2 minutes. My apologies.
Okay, so the bottom line is, you trust the Democratic Alliance as an anchor tenant within the GNU, simply because we have, at least amongst our peers, in the first 100 days of government, have shown you that even the most basic of functions, such as holding a pen and signing documents, making sure that you have a visa clearance system that works, making sure that you have a policy document that will direct us in the right directions as far as making sure that the commitment to creating jobs and growing the economy is concerned, making sure that we reduce government debt and expenditure, we level the playing field on GDP, this is the case with our Deputy Minister of Finance, Asha Sirupin, and Treasury is concerned. As far as all of those things that haven't been there, which are basic things that are supposed to have been there in the past, but unfortunately, because we inherited a broken state, we're not there. At least trust us to say that in the first 100 days, the bare minimum that wasn't there, that was taken for granted for the first 30 years of democracy, we are doing that. And that should show you our heart. That should show you our interest to say, when we said we're going into the GNU for the best interests of South Africans, this is what we meant. We didn't mean we're going to hop onto the gravy train and continue with life as normal. But we meant we're going to work, and that's how you trust us.
I'm giving you 30 seconds, sir. My apologies.
In 30 seconds, Comrade Zungula and members of the Progressive Caucus, we have nothing against you, fellow comrades. You chose your path. We chose our path. We wish you well. After all, we are not in a competition. If you guys get it right, mark my words, you'll have a PAC meeting discussing joining you.
Thank you. Brother Zungula, 15 seconds. My apologies, Brian.
I think
it's getting bad here, based on the votes.
What is important is that we want a South Africa that works. And the South Africa that works must be anchored on being truthful to South Africans, but most importantly, we want to drive this message to say there must be the alignment of policies to ensure policy certainty. There's no contradiction to have a government that is actually is serving. We need to judge the GNU based on what is most problematic to the people, not what we want us to clap our hands for ourselves. But what is problematic to our people is unemployment, poverty, like I mentioned. If this GNU, this coalition can get that right, surely, even not as the ATM, we can say, well done. But in the event they do not get it right, we're not going to be happy that there is a minister that is signing something, because anyone can do that.
Thank you. I'd like to thank my panelists, Praedi, Auskarabo, and Nupu Tivuyo. And I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us again. The podcast Party SA on YouTube. Click, subscribe, like, and thank you to Democracy Unplugged and for everyone who was involved, especially the team for this evening. Please travel safely home.